Blog Talk Radio.
Talk to the twins on Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Good evening, ladies and gents and ladies.
Yes.
You are tuned into PNP Talk to the Twins. Yes, yes, yes. We are here. We are alive, and we are thankful, grateful, and we love you. This is Angel. Angel Wing got cold. Sorry, y'all.
And this is Butterfly.
Oh, Butterfly is good.
Fly, honey. Fly, honey.
Yeah. This Angel, I'll do it better next week. Lord help us. But we're so excited this evening, our love and relationship show. And we will have Coach Felicia on the line with us tonight. And we all know that it is Valentine's weekend.
Yes, my favorite holiday.
Yes, mine too. I love love and love loves me. I'm going to quote that.
Yes.
And don't put your name on it. That's my quote. But, Oh, Lord. Well, we're excited. We're going to be speaking about love on today. Angel Wing is really choked up really bad, but we're going to pray for her. She's had a broken wing. She's been through some things, but, you know, the enemy had a plot, but God got plans. So we're gonna pray for her that she feels a lot better, and she's choking. Are you okay, Angel Wing?
I'm fine. I'll be all right.
No. But tonight we have Coach Felicia on the line with us. She's been a guest on our show on several occasions. She is a love coach preventionist. She helps those out there. Interventionist, I'm sorry. I'm having a rough day. Feels like Monday. And she has written several books that will be coming out this spring. We're so excited.
Woo!
So stay tuned. We'll keep you posted on that. Yeah.
Hello, hello, hello.
Talk to the Twins on Blog Talk Radio. Hello, Coach Felicia.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hi, it's so great to have you back on, girl. I am so glad you're on. This is Angel Wing. I'm suffering with the cold, but I'm going to push through it. Yes, yes. Well, welcome to the show once again. We're excited. We're gearing up for our power couple. And we want to let people know that you're going to be such a big part of that and that you've been dealing with families and relationships and love and all that good stuff. Give us a little bit of your background so our listeners can hear once again.
I am so happy to be here. And first of all, hopefully Butterfly and Angel Wing will be able to hold it down tonight because it sounds like one of you clipped the wing and is needing some help back to the other. So it's good. Not only am I glad to be here, I'm glad you're here too.
Oh, it's been rough, I tell you.
It's always a pleasure sharing with you ladies and the listening audience just a little bit about me. I would call myself a relationship advocate simply because I have been working in the field for quite some time with couples who want to prepare for a good relationship that will intentionally become a marriage, and also those who have had discord and tension and different things that have kind of, you know, essentially broken their wings in their marriage. So I help those enrich what they have and kind of get it back on the track to where they'd like it to be. I have a master's in marriage and family therapy, so I really love what I do, and it's always a joy to share in such a way.
Oh, wow. So that's a passion of yours to help couples and premarital couples and those that are in marriages to help them rekindle and find what it is that they need to keep their marriage alive and just, you know, spice it up some.
Absolutely, absolutely. That is definitely something that I would coin as a passion for what I do. And since we're talking about the subject of love, love is at the root of it all. I mean, we can't have a successful marriage or we can't have a successful relationship that would lead into marriage if it's not rooted and grounded in the premise of love. So the show is definitely fitted for what I do day to day.
Right. And how can you tell if it's real love? If you're in a marriage, say you have a couple that's been married 20 years, 25 years, and they realize that they never really loved each other. Have you ever come across a situation like that?
You know what? That's a good question. Actually, I have. It's very interesting that you would say that because I've talked to couples before, and one may confess in a session, I had to grow to love that person. I didn't love that person at first. I had to grow to love them. You know, we got together when we were very young, and I had to grow to love them. So it's not an automatic. You would be so surprised at the couples that get together who it's a need. It's a need for that person to leave home. They could be, it could be a young person. They could be fleeing their household with parents that were abusive. And then they meet somebody and they get together with that person. And then you will be very surprised to find that it's always, love is not always the foundation of the relationship.
Wow. So,
does
it take time to fall in love, or do you believe that love can be at, you know, first sight? What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I believe that it's not love at first sight. It may be lust at first sight. It may be infatuation.
Right.
It may be infatuation. But you don't get into the nuts and bolts of what love really is until there's been time present. I mean, because you won't really discover the depth of your love for a person until you see that person in a situation where they are ill. I mean, you can be infatuated with the person on day one, but can you really say that you love that person? You don't even know the person. So I really believe that it takes time to truly develop, and the best model for love is basically out of the Bible in 1 Corinthians 13. You know, we see a lot in the world, but the best description of love and what it looks like comes from God, and that's 1 Corinthians 13, starting with verses 4 all the way down to 8.
That being said, yes, that is a biblical term, and I feel like that is very important for our listeners to know where the first form of love transcended from. Love comes from the Lord first and foremost, and I think that if a lot of couples and individuals would notice that love is Angel Wing is trying to say something.
Angel Wing, poor baby. Are you over there struggling,
yeah.
Angel Wing?
I
will say this. Love is very much, it's an action word. Let's be honest in saying that love is patient. Love is kind. Love it's not going to envy, just as the description says. It's not proud. It's not rude. When I work with couples who have been in abusive relationships, well, he loves me. Not if he's beating you. That's not love. You cannot compare abuse with love. Love is going to protect you. It's going to trust. It's going to hope. It's going to make it through. When the Bible is saying that it always protects, when I translate that into world terms, protect means it's going to cover. So sometimes when you're protecting your loved one, that means you're not telling your loved one's business to your girlfriends or boyfriend or your friend guys at work. Love is going to cover you. So the world may distort what love really looks like, but made it very plain in the words. It's very clear. Love is an action word. It doesn't result in evil. Yes, it does not.
When you talk about love, desire for one physical being, would you say?
Oh, of course. Like the earlier question, can you be in love with somebody at first sight? You can be in lust with that. You can be infatuated. And sometimes when you first, quote, fall in love, you'll feel like this alluring feeling. Oh, my goodness, I'm so in love with this person. But over time, you'll notice that will wear off. we predict that that illusion or either the infatuation or either the euphoria of love will last sometimes about 2 years, the first couple of years, sometimes 18 months, depending on the couple and how much you do to spice things up. But then you get into what looks like the brand part of your relationship where you've settled into the relationship and it's no more lust, it's no more fire and desire every time you come home every night. And when you get more settled in the relationship, that's when you start finding out what type of love exists here. Because as you know, we have different levels of love. You have agape love. You know, you have the love for your friends. You have love for coworkers. So it's different versions of love.
Yes, yes. And then there's the love languages that we talked about before. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Could you enlighten us on some of those love languages? I know one is the language of being affectionate.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. That there is a book called The Five Love Languages. I would advise every couple possible to get that book, because what I have discovered as a therapist is couples don't communicate in the same language. Your love language may be quality of time. Well, his love language may be acts of service. So when a couple gets together and determines what their love language is for one another, that's an awesome thing, simply because in a marriage, you're going to be speaking each other's language. In other words, you may come home with flowers, but she may not necessarily like this. She may just want you to spend time with her. And she's frustrated because you're not understanding as a man. She just wants quality of time. Well, for men, acts of service is really big because they're so busy doing things for women. So if you don't understand one another's language, love language, that can create some problems in terms of communication.
Yes,
all of them
yes.
are equally as important, but it's definitely very important to understand what is your spouse's or your spouse-to-be, what is their love language?
Mm-hmm. What is their love language? And that is a great idea for couples, definitely going into a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
To use that would be a great gift.
The five love languages.
Uh-huh.
I apologize. The five love languages, one is gifts, one is quality time, one is words of affirmation, and then also you have acts of service, and then you have physical touch. So, like I said, if you discover what that person's language is, and usually through a conversation, or it could be just discovery, I mean, I tell you, that will really touch your relationship.
Oh, I believe that. But, you know, sometimes in my experience, I've had people that say, oh, I like to cuddle or, you know, I like to travel or, you know, different things, or I like attention. And then they really don't, you know. So it's like, do they really know what language of love they have? Or they're just making up something. Or they just believe that's what they want, you know. And then you get with them and it's like, wow, you really have to spend time with them to see what they really enjoy. Because some people really don't know their language of love, I found.
And some people's love language is specific to time, spending quality time with them. It's just that simple.
Yes.
If you spend time with them, you begin to speak their language. They'll fuzzy up to you more. They'll be more open to you, opposed to somebody who doesn't get time with you at all. They may not be as receptive because you're not speaking their language. It's almost like learning English versus the Spanish. We're not able to dialogue if we don't know each other's language. We're not able to converse, and sometimes that takes a minute to kind of discover if you don't have a couple that's very intuitive of the other one's language just by happenstance, then you will have to take the time to try to talk about it and discover it with one another, but it's worth it.
So that's what happened. No, I'm joking. So that's
you're about year 10, you're like, oh,
okay.
Oh, yeah. So it definitely happens, but it's good when you can kind of discover those things early upon.
You know, this is Angel Wing trying to come back. Lord help me. But I've always told my sister, you know, being that she's single, to look for some signs that show love, you know, that the action behind. She would date someone, but I did not see standing on the outside did not see the action of love. And sometimes I feel that it's hard for us as women to identify that. Are there ways that we can identify that this person really loves me?
Oh, I love that question. It goes all the way back to 1 Corinthians 13. That's a good motto, and I'm going to read it to you. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. So if you meet somebody and you notice they easily anger, well, you know that's not love, because as soon as they get angry enough, that may escalate into them putting their hands on you. When it says, yeah, yeah, and when it says in the Bible it keeps no record of wrongs, that goes into accusing you. Are they accusing you? Well, why come you didn't call me back? Or I knew you was out with another guy. Or you know, I know you're cheating with, you know, I saw that in your phone. All of those things, God's word was very clear before we came along. Yeah, and those little triggers, if they are very boastful, if they're proud, if they tell your personal business, that's not love. If you have some, if you talk to them in confidence and they go tell your personal business elsewhere, that's not love. If they don't trust you, that's not love. If they're not willing to persevere through tough times with you, that's not love.
Nope.
That's really not love. It's an illusion of love.
Yeah.
It's an illusion of love. If they're not patient, case in point.
Right, not patient to hang out there with you till the your change comes. Yes, you're
there
right.
There you go. Absolutely. And it's not simply competing with you. It says it does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. Those are great takeaways to kind of measure against a real person. Are they patient with you? Do they help you? Are they trying to help you? Another you may think this is very elementary, but this is something that I wrote about in one of my books. I give a test as simple as adding, multiplying, dividing, or subtracting. Does this person add to your life, multiply your life, or do they divide or subtract your life? If they're adding, they're going to help you be better than you are right now, and they'll help develop you into your purpose. They're multiplying you, they're going to help you multiply your fruits. Now, if they divide you, any type of division is taking you away from your core purpose. And if they subtract from you, then they definitely are not the one, because that means they're going to be taken away from you. So I use that model a lot of times. Just do simple math. Add, multiply, divide, and subtract.
All right. So do you think it's hard to find love, or love to find you, or just bump into each other?
That's $1 million question.
Well, I'm trying to tell you, if I ain't had a million, then ooh, if I knew.
Well, I would tell, like, I get presented with this question quite a bit, and it is actually one of my favorite questions. I don't think women should be looking for love. I think men are natural hunters, or they love the chase. That's just what they are very confident in their position as men. They have no problems approaching you when they see exactly what they want. I don't think women should have to chase men, or I don't think women have to go looking. I think there's a such thing as making yourself available, like Ruth did. She made herself available to Boaz to go lay at his feet. She presented herself, but she didn't necessarily go out there looking. You know, she was doing what she was supposed to do. She was on purpose in the field, doing what her former mother-in-law said. So I really don't think women have to go looking, but I do think we present the best when we step out. I do believe that. So that's my take on that.
Right. And also, you know, with that being said, too, love cannot be forced. I mean, even if you love someone and you cannot make them love you back.
No such thing. You have more power and more peace by just being who you are and loving exactly who you are. Someone somewhere knows exactly who you are, and they need you. Trust the process and wait on that person. Sometimes people have to lose you to win. In other words, let me rephrase it. Sometimes you have to lose to win. You have to lose the person that will not treasure you as the jewel that you are in order to win the right person. So what may look like, oh, I want to make this work, oh, I want to do this. No, sometimes you have to lose to win. Sometimes you have to be, you have to get in your season of being comfortable losing, but really losing is setting you up to win, because you're going to lose what you don't need in order to gain what you've always wanted.
Wow, I
love that.
You have
to trust the process. Yes.
Yeah.
You have to trust the process.
The process can be a lengthy process too.
Yeah.
I guess if you too, if you're wasting time with you know, a person, so you should really, you know, pick up on the signs early so you don't waste your time, because time is something you cannot get back.
You know, my pastor always says, "Don't spend permanent time with temporary people," and I love that and celebrate it. Get very good at being comfortable in, you know, assessing right up front, hey, is this something I want to even waste my time with? And it's not even about really wasting your time. Love is an experience, and it can be treasured and adored, but you also are intentional about retaining the most important relationship in your life. That's a love relationship. So it is okay to embrace, this ain't working for me, I'm going to let this go. But again, that goes back to trust in the process, and it doesn't have to be a long process. It doesn't have to be. It's an illusion that, oh, this is going to take a long time, so let me settle for this in the meantime. In my book entitled Loving You Feels Right, But I Don't Want to Be Wrong, I talk a lot about the unknown process, because I've heard over the years singles get so consumed with, well, that may mean, you know, I'm going to have to be alone for a while. But you know what? That could be the best thing for you, because when you do receive that healthy relationship you want, that you've exchanged for that dysfunctional relationship that you know it's not for you, but you hold on to it because you have nothing else on the other hand, you will feel so much better when you let it go. And it's a struggle for some people, though, and that's real, because by design, we are natural in wanting and desiring love. That's a natural basic need. And I further break that down in the book. That's one of the human needs, love is. Not many people may know that, but love is a human basic need. We cannot exist without it.
Oh, that is
however,
so true.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
However, get a healthy love relationship, because dysfunctional won't work anymore.
Wow. Yes, dysfunctional. And definitely a healthy relationship is far better than a dysfunctional. And then and with love, you also have to know to love yourself as well in order to have love attracted towards you. Wouldn't you say that?
Amen, sister. I tell you this, and this comes from my big sisters above. I'm mid-40s, but I've learned from my sisters that have gone ahead of me and have experienced love. This comes from the best. They said if you take good care of yourself, that's training for him being able to take just as good care of you or better. You have to love yourself first, because when you're not loving yourself, they know it. Trust me. They know what you're willing to accept. If it's foolishness, they know that you don't really love yourself. Loving yourself, yes, ma'am, loving yourself means really taking care of yourself. And sometimes that is best done when you're walking a season alone, so you can spend that time with yourself, getting reacquainted with yourself, since somebody has always absorbed that space. You haven't had time to nurture yourself. So loving yourself is foundation. That's foundation. And then you can work from that.
Amazing. And then the same thing, you know, you hear a lot of, like my grandmother used to say, if that man doesn't love his mama, he ain't going to know how to love you. You know, and I kind of, you know, stick with that as well, as how a man would treat his mother, as how he would treat his woman or his wife.
You said a lot when you said that. Is this Angel Wing? Angel Wing or Butterfly I'm talking to? But you said a lot when you said that. A good measurement is how does he treat three women in his life will determine how he's going to treat you. If you disrespect your mom, if you disrespect your sister, if you disrespect your daughter, then I know you're guaranteed to disrespect me. It's a guarantee. Those are the three most important women to a man. If he treats his mother with respect, his sister with respect, especially if his sister is not married, or even his daughter with respect, trust me, his core system is on the right path. But if you have a man present who is very comfortable with disrespecting his mom, therefore he will disrespect his sister, and therefore he will disrespect his daughter. You're guaranteed to be disrespected. or if he doesn't do it up front, it's a matter of time. And the both goes for women. If the woman doesn't respect her father, first of all, she doesn't respect the Heavenly Father. Let's start with that. Or he doesn't respect, you know, God the Father. Let's start with those relationships. That will tell you, before you invest a lot of time, how this person will be in a relationship with you.
Yeah. And then, you know, and even in a relationship, like we were saying, for him to respect his mom, what if he loves his mother too much and not you enough?
You ever heard the term a mama's boy?
Oh, yeah.
And this is not to slight them.
Mm-hmm.
This is not to slight them. This is just to say that some men are very, very well, very, very much in tune with having that close bond relationship with their mother. And I don't want to talk about them simply because you have a lot of men who may not have had dads in the picture. They got very close to their moms, and she reared him that way. So I don't want to slight her, and I don't want to slight him, but there does create havoc in relationships for the wife that comes along because she has to compete with the mother, and that's a whole different subject. So we have to go further on that on another call perhaps, but that is such a case. That is such a case. And we try not to judge simply because before we can really label a situation, we have to know the foundation of what happened before we showed up. So it's easier to kind of say, oh, that's a mama's boy. But when we kind of talk more with the gentleman or even with the lady who's a daddy's girl, we discover that there's a reason for everything. However, it can sometimes create a problem in a relationship because the spouse that comes along, they have to compete with that parental relationship, and that can create a division in the marriage easily.
Oh, yeah. That is so true. And now, we've had such an awesome discussion, a great topic, but I really want to touch on you will be having a book coming out soon, and we would love for our audience to hear about your book and what it, give us a little detail of what it's going to be about.
Sure. I have one coming up, I have three coming out this spring. The first one due to release is called Loving You Feels Right, But I Don't Want to Be Wrong. That's where I talk about the illusions of love. I talk about what the description of love is. I talk about the dysfunctional versus to the functional relationships. The other one is called Speak Now or Forever Hold Your Peace. It's a guide for couples to be, to talk and have dialogue prior to getting into the engagement, and we talk about a marriage model where we talk through different layers of things a couple may face. And then the other one is Now That We've Said I Do. This is for the married couple. Now That We've Said I Do, Now What? And that's just basically a guide to kind of have a conversation about, hey, we started here, but now we're over here. How do we get back to a good, solid place? So these are three A's that will help couples have good, healthy communication and kind of just bring some visibility to areas that may have created some darkness in places.
Yes, yes, that is awesome. That's amazing. So we are looking so forward to your books coming out. We're going to be doing a great workshop event coming up soon, and we will definitely let our listeners know about those events that will be coming up, and Coach Felicia will be with us. She will be doing the workshop. Yes, and we're so excited about that. Well, we're going to start to end this show and wrap it up, and we want to thank you for coming on once again to PNP Talk to the Twins, and we have so many listeners that are looking forward to hearing more from you, so we're going to try to get you back on next week, and we want to thank you again for coming on PNP Talk to the Twins.
I love talking to the Twins. It is a pleasure. Anytime I'm able to do it, I certainly will be right here. God bless, and you ladies have a wonderful evening.
Okay, you too.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye. You're welcome.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you all for tuning in for PNP Talk to the Twins, our love and relationship segment. segment. We have so much more to offer you, so much great advice. We have Coach Felicia on our team. We are an awesome team together, and we are wondering if you are listening and getting any good advice. We would like to hear from you. You can also, when we have our show, call in at 714-333-3314. You can inbox us. You can go to PNP Talk to the Twins page to leave comments or anything that you would like to talk about as far as topics. But tonight we touched on love, being that it is the season of love, the month of February, Black History Month, and Valentine's. So we love you. We thank you. And continue to tune in and pray for us as we pray for you. God bless.
God bless you.